Jeff Daly and Brett Cerfowski sitting in for Scott on this Wednesday morning, and off to the phone lines we go to visit with Ted Dabrowski from Wire Points, and we're going to get an update on all things Springfield, maybe even a little bit more. How are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure, as always. Just looking at the website right out of the box, looking at the legislation that would limit the governor's emergency powers, it's, of course, stuck in committee, and it's probably not going to see the light of day, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. That's probably the number one thing that would have to happen in the short term in Illinois to get kind of back to normal, and that's to no longer have the governor deciding everything about what goes on with the pandemic. It's been 2 years now that he's done everything through executive orders, 27 straight disaster declarations, and we're way past that, and yet the legislature has not found a way to strip his power. I think quite a few Republicans have put in different kinds of bills to do that, but they get stuck in committee, and it's high time that we move past executive orders. This is supposed to be a democracy, after all.
Well, it is, and I mean, and my line of thinking over the course of the past 2 years with this, and I've said it on the air multiple times during my show in the afternoon, this actually has given the legislators cover, because when all is said and done, when the fallout finally hits, all they got to do is point at the governor and say, well, we didn't do that, it was all on him. Well, they own this because they didn't do anything about it.
That's right. I mean, they were able to avoid all these tough decisions about closing businesses, calling people essential workers and all that stuff. They'll just point the finger at Pritzker, like you said. And really what it should be is it should be easy for individual voters to be able to hold their legislator accountable. Hey, I didn't like what happened with these closings or whatever it is, or to support it, so we've lost all that. But what's clear is that we've had some of the worst, we still have some of the worst unemployment rates in the country. We're still suffering from COVID, even though mostly we're getting back to normal. So it'd be great to see. This is part of the problem in Springfield, too, and this comes back to the legislature and Madigan's powers, which Welch, Speaker Welch now has. It's really hard to get a bill out of a committee, and we should make it a lot easier for controversial bills to be able to go on the floor and get voted on, and that's how it should be. But instead, bills get stuck. They never see the light of day. This is kind of the Madigan machine, the Madigan way.
It's so partisan, and that's just basically how they've run the state for years upon years upon years upon years. But it just seems especially worse now when you deal with a situation like we have been dealing with over the course of the past 2 years with COVID. People, I think, are hopefully starting to wake up and realize these men and women work for us and not the other way around. But unfortunately, when you've got, an administration and you've got a state that's basically run by one party, that's where the problems really begin to crop up.
On either way, right, you really never want something to be run by one party.
No.
You like checks and balances, you like debate, you want to hear both sides of the issue, you want to, there's another bill flowing through where one of the legislators said, the negotiations are secret. And well, what the heck, so then how are we supposed to know what's going on? This is a real problem for us in Illinois. Yeah, we need more balance, more debate, and certainly more democracy.
And I get frustrated. I mean, I'm an equal opportunity guy. I mean, if the Republicans do something that I get annoyed with, I call them out just as much as I would call the Democrats out on it. I at least give the Republicans credit for making noise about it. But in the end, they've got no power. I mean, there's really nothing they can do. We're stuck with what exists.
Well, that's true. However, and here's what I say to the people who forget they can keep pushing back. If you're a legislator and you don't like it, get on the radio, call, get together as a caucus, get together as a, get a press conference together, get on the bully pulpit. You've got to keep fighting all the time. You can't just say, well, I have no power, and so therefore I just kind of be quiet, and that's what some people do. So I've seen some good movement recently, and someone like Dan Ugaste, has been pushing for these executive orders to go away, and they're trying in some areas, and other areas they've given up, and that's not good either.
Absolutely right. What else is happening over there in the state house we need to be aware of?
Well, this is the big one. I'll give you there's two that matter: gas prices, which I should say is gas taxes,
right?
And the other one is there's this unemployment insurance, kind of a boring thing, but.
But it's a hidden. It's one of those things that's just kind of laying out there that people aren't really talking about until you start actually putting hard figures to it.
That's right. And so, when we started doing all these government lockdowns, well, a lot of people lost their jobs, And Illinois, which has a unemployment insurance fund for to pay people unemployment insurance claims, that thing, you know, we blew through all the money. We ended up having to borrow $4.5 billion from the federal government. Well, most states have used all that COVID aid they got from the federal government to repay it. Well, guess who's one of the states that hasn't? There's 9 states that haven't repaid their debts to the federal government, and that's Illinois. We owe $4.5 billion. Why we didn't use all of our aid when we got it? Well, you can imagine that the governor and others wanted to spend money on other things, and it's campaign time after all. And so here we are. We're trying to figure out how to repay that $4.5 billion. We still have $3.5 billion left in aid, COVID aid that we could use, but there's a debate about how much to use because, you know, Republicans and Democrats don't agree on that either. And if we don't pay it back properly, it's going to fall on the back of our job creators. They'll have to pay higher taxes on payroll. And, you know, we're already losing jobs. We're already are behind our neighboring states in jobs. So we need to solve this quickly.
Well, and it's going to be an ongoing issue, especially with employers, you know, with the migration we've seen from jobs leaving the state. You know, they're just going to take them, you know, across the border to, you know, either Indiana or Wisconsin or Missouri or wherever. And, you know, then we'll have less of a tax base to work with because sooner or later, you know, the businesses are going to get tired of being taxed.
Well, that's one. And two, you know, if we have fewer and fewer people here, our state is one of just 3 states of the whole country to shrink
right.
In the last decade. So the fewer people you have, you know, if you're a business, where are you going to go? Where it's growing, where people are thriving, where people are moving to. So you take a place like Texas, it grew 4 million people in the last decade. We shrank. You know, Florida almost grew 3 million people. So if you're starting a business or if you're growing your business, where are you going to grow it? You're going to grow it where people go. So this is our legislators don't get that concept. It's a tough concept for them.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because, you mentioned Texas. I mean, they've had, you know, you've had big companies leave California and relocate to Texas.
Yeah.
What the natives of Texas are worried about is that the people are also going to not only import their businesses and their jobs into the state, but they're also going to bring their politics. And you're seeing some of that trend.
Yeah, you see some of that trend. You know, what's sad for me is that, you know, I think what happens is some of those with, let's call them the kind of free enterprise, you know, pro-individual values are the ones leaving Illinois and going to other places. So, you know, it's making us weaker and it's, in many cases, making them stronger. But, yeah, it's tough to figure out exactly how the politics will change in those other states. But, you know, they still seem to be doing the right things and attracting people.
And of course, you mentioned you know, gas prices, which is they're just insane at this point. Now, I did see, you know, some good trends as far as the price per barrel on oil going down yesterday. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to help, you know, the everyday consumer going out there because they're still paying through the nose.
Well, yeah, you know, when you think about the people who are, you know, struggling to make ends meet, this is one of the big ones, especially when the prices get, you know, gap like they have up. But the big issue, you know, when you start to peel back the onion is our gas taxes. And, you know, there's no reason for people to know this stuff, but, you know, when you look at the American petroleum industry, they put out who pays the highest gas, which states charge the highest gas taxes. They do it every 6 months. And, you know, number 2 on the list, right behind California, is Illinois. We have the second highest gas taxes in the country. And, you know, Governor Pritzker, when he took over, they signed that massive capital bill. They doubled the motor fuel tax. That's one big problem. So they added 19 cents onto that. They changed the rules of how it will go up every year with inflation. So that means it's going up again. And we also have a sales tax on gasoline. We're just one of 4 states in the country to put a sales tax on gasoline. And think about it. As gas prices go up, well, your sales tax is 6.25%. So guess what? Your taxes go up too. So we're gouging people. There's no reason. You know, just on Friday, our gas was 73 cents more expensive than gas in Missouri. 73 cents per gallon. That's phenomenal. 52 cents more than Kentucky.
That's insane.
It's insane. Yeah, and there's no reason for that, right? You understand 5 cents, 10 cents because you're more expensive. 73 cents?
Yeah, when you're dealing with almost a dollar higher, you know, from one state to the other, then you got to realize there's a problem. But I really worry that these guys really don't care. They just want the revenue at that point.
Well, they don't care. And, you know, at wire points, that's why we're trying to make all these things transparent. Let people know, because if they don't care, you know, it's the people, you know, you, me, and everybody else who's listening, are we voting the right way for the right things? And are we holding them accountable? Or do we just let them get away with it? And I'm sick of letting them get away with it. You know, you're hearing about people driving over the border in Wisconsin 60 cents cheaper within a mile. I mean, forget tax revenues. People are going to go there, buy their gas, and they're going to also shop at whatever, right? Costco, and get their other stuff.
Right. The economic impact on the border communities is going to be just immense at this point. Yeah. I mean, because people, you're exactly right. People are going to go over there. They're going to get their gas. They're going to get their groceries, and they're just going to bring it all back. And where does the money stays over there, and it's not staying right here in the state.
Yeah, they're laughing at us. If I'm a Wisconsin or Indiana, Missouri, whatever legislator or whatever. I'm just a gas guy at the border. I'm laughing at Illinois.
Oh, they're tickled. They're tickled to death with this.
Yeah.
A favorite thing that I did want to ask you about, we're all familiar with the Carol Pope saga. she announced last summer she was going to be stepping down in December, saying that the Office of the Legislative Inspector General is basically just useless because she's not even allowed to investigate anything. And of course, that office sat, empty for a couple of weeks, and then the Democrats went ahead and put their own guy in there at this point. I don't know what's going to be the long-term solution, but the last thing you want to happen is the last thing you want is the legislators policing themselves.
Well, yeah, and that's what we've had for so long, right? Which is exactly why we ended up with 40 years of Madigan and 40 years of a machine. When we talk about top reforms, I mean, I think there's two real reforms that have to happen in Illinois, and they kind of overlap. But the ethics reform and a real ethics bill, not the one we passed last year, which is way too soft. That's one, and then of course we can't function without getting the finances right, and that's pension reform. So those are the two big ones. But ethics is kind of overlays everything, right? And if you can't get your ethics right, you can't get your culture right, then you're run by a bunch of what do you want to call it? I mean, just really bad behavior, if I don't use bad names. Just really bad behavior, criminal behavior.
Right.
And that's what we got.
I mean, it's an enterprise. And I mean, and unfortunately, that mentality bleeds down from, south of I-80 and it does happen throughout the state. And unfortunately, there's nothing being done in the legislature to try to alleviate any of those issues.
No, there's not. And, we'll have a piece coming out on that soon. And I call it just the legal corruption.
Right.
Everything that we do, and if you look at how Madigan and just read his indictment, it's 106 pages, it's all trade-offs, right? They're trading. And so you can imagine what they're doing between the unions and the the public sector unions and the legislators. And it's all trading to get benefits and power. And so that means that's how you end up with the most units of government in the country. It's how you end up with the biggest pensions in the country. It's how you end up with the collective bargaining laws, those laws that support and defend the public sector unions. They're the most powerful in the country. We can't make changes anymore because everything is so codified legally, mm-hmm. And I'd say corruptly, but legally, everything's so codified we can't change the state. We're stuck.
Yep. We're absolutely stuck. Last point I want to ask, the indictment came down and he appeared last week and he said, no, I'm not guilty. So we're waiting. The next phase for the Madigan saga is on the way.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to figure out how that's going to end up. Alderman Burke in Chicago, he was indicted. How long has it been now? We're still waiting around to hear that. And, the stuff in theory is great. They got him on tape, but proving these things becomes a real legal issue. What I'm saying is I frankly, and it's a little bit different from what everybody's saying, okay, good, we got Madigan. If he did what's wrong, which I think we all suspect, then he should go to jail. But for me, the celebration in Illinois doesn't start until we break down that legal corrupt machine that we talked about just a minute ago. He can be in jail. They can catch 10 more guys, 20 more guys. We got to break down those massive, powerful collective bargaining laws, too many units of government, that constitutional protection of pensions. All that stuff is what's keeping the ordinary Illinoisan, down. Or pushing them out, one or the other.
Or spending way too much in taxes and everyday living just to, just to get by. So, and I am just enough of a thinker on this to think, he may be out of power in Springfield, but I guarantee you, those ties are long and strong, and he's still got some sway and some influence. So don't be surprised if there's some background going on with him, even though he's not in power anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there at all.
Ted, it has been a pleasure, sir. I would look forward to a chance when we get to talk again.
All right, well, thank you so much for having me.